Thank you, Lord, that even though the enemy is strong, he's crafty, he's deceptive and manipulative, Lord, thank you that you are stronger than him and that you have given us power and authority to resist his influence and to win this spiritual battle that we're in. Father, I pray for me that you would help me to share your word this morning, share what's on your heart, and help each of us to receive what you have for us so that we can be strong in the midst of this crisis, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're in this spiritual warfare series. Today is part something. I totally can't remember what part we're up to. Is it part? Yeah, I was thinking seven or eight. One of those numbers. So last week we did. So we're still in the names of Satan, and last week we talked about Lucifer, and the main point of that was that Lucifer is, well, the Bible teaches that Satan can sometimes come as an angel of light. And so Satan as Lucifer, he won't show up as this terrifying, sulfur-smelling, fire-breathing dragon. Otherwise, we go, oh, I think that thing's bad for me. And we wouldn't receive what he has to say. But he'll show up as, he'll present himself as someone who has authority, who has compassion, who cares about us, who knows what he's talking about, but he'll feed us lies. And sometimes he'll do that through friends, through church leaders, pastors, through scientists, doctors, psychologists, whatever. He'll use anybody to speak through them to get us. It doesn't mean that that person's evil. It doesn't mean that doctors are evil. Doctors are awesome. It doesn't mean that pastors are evil, I think. But it does mean that people can, Satan can speak through people and get to us. So we got to be smart, got to have discernment where we recognize what's being said, and we say, okay, does this line up with the scriptures? Does it line up with what God has spoken to me and what I see in the Word of God? Yes? Okay, great. No, I'm not going to listen to that. And so that was most last week in a nutshell. If you want more, you can watch it on YouTube. This week, I want to talk about his name, the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we will commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, God, in the gospel, God has given us the most amazing gift ever, that we can be forgiven of all our sin, we can have our past wiped away, we can be right before God, we can have all that guilt gone, removed from us, we can be healed spiritually, physically, emotionally, everything, that we can have our life restored, and for free. We don't have to pay for it, we don't have to try to earn it, that it's free. And so God has given us this amazing thing in the gospel that you look at it and you go, well, any rational person would receive that. It doesn't make sense for anybody to reject the gospel. And yet, Paul here, he tells us that people do reject it because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Who's the God of this world? That's Satan. It's not talking about that God has blinded their eyes, but the God of this world. Satan has blinded their eyes, so they can't see the truth. The phrase, the God of this world, the word in Greek for this world that they use here, it's aion, which means age or eon. Literally then, when we hear of Satan as the God of this world, it means the God of this present age, the one who has authority over this period of time right now. What does this mean? Well, first let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that God is not all-powerful or in control. Just because one of Satan's names is the God of this world doesn't mean that God's like, oh yeah, okay, I'm the God in heaven, but Satan's the God of this world, and he's got all power over here. No, God is in control. God has all power and all authority. It also doesn't mean that Satan is a God. Satan is a created being. It's like God's power is right up there at the ceiling. Satan's power is way down here at the carpet. Not even close. The Bible might refer to him as the God of this world, but it's not. He's not really a God. So what does it mean? Well, I think it means that Satan has a certain level of authority on the earth in this present age, but that authority is limited. It's limited in the duration of it, and it's limited in the scope of it, the intensity of it, that Satan has some authority on the earth, but it's not going to last forever. That one day Jesus will return and Satan will have no authority because he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. And it's limited in the intensity of it, the power of his authority. So he has a limit, a certain level of authority, but it's not, he's not all powerful. He can't do anything he wants. He's not God. He's not even a God. So he has some authority, but it's limited. So how did Satan get authority on earth? Well, it goes back to the beginning. God created the earth for us, for people. He gave us authority on the earth. But what did we do? We gave that authority to the enemy, to Satan. When Adam and Eve sinned, they welcomed sin into the world. They allowed the devil to come and basically reign on the planet. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 5. This is when Jesus is in the wilderness. It says, "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor because it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I want to.'" This wasn't a lie. Satan had authority. It was delivered to him. It was given to him because Adam and Eve surrendered it. They allowed him to come in and take the authority that God gave us as representatives of him on the planet. They gave that to the enemy. And so he wasn't lying there. He had authority on the earth to do whatever he wanted, essentially. Not total, complete authority, but he had a level of authority because he stole it from people. But then Jesus came, and Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. He conquered the enemy to win back that authority for us, for humanity. Because Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. And so he was the only one who could win the authority back for God and for humanity. But Satan, when Jesus died and rose again, so Satan, it's like God, through Jesus, took the authority back for us. But Satan doesn't automatically leave. He still has power. He still does stuff. He still moves and acts. And so just because he has no right any longer, just because he's been dethroned doesn't mean that he just surrendered and went, okay, well, I guess I'll leave. No, he's been dethroned. He's lost his power. He's lost his right to rule. But he's still going to fight it until the end. So another question that brings up in my mind then, Where exactly does Satan have authority in this age? So the Bible says that it calls him the God of this world or the God of this present age. But where does he have authority? Where does he not have authority? And I see basically like three categories where Satan has authority in this age. The first one is anybody not submitted to God. There's two kingdoms. You can be in God's kingdom or the enemy's kingdom. You can't do both. And so if you're not in God's kingdom, you're in the enemy's kingdom. And when you're in the enemy's kingdom, Satan has a level of authority over your life. So if you're not serving God, yeah, he's going to love you. And it says that he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And he still keeps the earth functioning. He keeps the earth going around the sun. And he keeps air here for us to breathe, even if you don't love God. But there's a certain level of authority that the enemy has because you've surrendered to him and you're serving him instead of Jesus. So God has authority over your life, but the enemy has authority as well because you are serving him and God respects your free will to choose who you want to serve. And so that's the first level. Anybody who's not serving God, automatically they're in the enemy's domain, so they're under his authority, his influence. The second level would be anybody who is in God's kingdom, we're serving God, we've been born again, we're living for God, but we don't recognize, we don't walk in the authority that we have. God has given us authority as his ambassadors, and he's rescued us from the power of the enemy and put us in his kingdom. And so we're under God's authority now, set free from the power of the enemy. But if you don't walk in that, the enemy is more than happy to come back in and start influencing your life. Example would be, you know, like let's say you start coughing, you know, and you're like, ah, I'm not going to do a real one. I don't want to freak anybody out. you start coughing and the enemy comes in. He's like, oh, you got COVID-19. Yep. Dry cough. Yep. COVID-19, buddy. Oh, you're going down. This is going to be rough. And you hear that thought and you, rather than rejecting that and saying, no, I got that because I was standing drywall and there's dust everywhere, you idiot. But you go, oh, crap, yeah, COVID-19. Well, now you've opened the door because of the enemy's lies. You've allowed that to come into your heart, and now you've rejected the authority that you have, and you've received the enemy's authority, and you might get the sickness. any, you know, let's say you go to the psychologist. The psychologist says, well, you bring your kid to the psychologist and you say, I don't know, he's just really like hyper, he won't sit still. The psychiatrist says, oh yeah, they got ADHD. And rather than rejecting that, or rather than thinking about that, praying against it, rebuking the demon, you go, oh, yep. She said ADHD. My kid's got ADHD. That's just what it is. And that's how it's going to be forever. You just receive that lie from the enemy. And now you've given your authority over to the enemy. And so he has authority in that area of your life until you recognize it and renounce it and say, no, that was a lie. My son can be healed. My son just needs some attention. He just needs boundaries. And he can get over this. He can get through this. He can get victory. And so we have authority through Jesus. We are under God's authority where we can be blessed and prosper in him. But if we don't fight in that, if we don't hold on to it, we can surrender that right to the enemy. And then he starts having authority in that area of our life. You hear this all the time with Christians. They'll talk about, look at how bad the world's going. Oh, the LGBT group, there's more and more of the LGBT people around, more transgenders, more homosexuals. That's on the rise. And all the churches getting into apostasy. And they just see all this evil around and they say, well, see, that's just what God said, that evil times would come before the end of the age. And so that's just how it's going to be. And no, it doesn't have to be like that. That's a lie from the enemy. The word of God says that God wants to bring righteousness. He wants to bring his blessing, his hope, his peace, yeah, his healing. And yeah, there's going to be bad times, and there will be good times and bad times, and sin will always be here. But we don't want to surrender to the idea that, well, I guess this is just what it's, how it is, and how life is. Evil is going to be on the rise, and I guess that's just the reality of how it is. Because then we surrender our authority to the enemy, so now he has a right to continue to act this way, and especially in our lives, to continue to torment us, showing us all the evil things around, and then he can do more evil things because we're giving him the authority in our life to come and do that stuff, rather than standing on the word of God and saying, no, I'll be blessed, I'll be prosperous, the world will see revival, God will bring his kingdom to the earth. We surrender that and allow the enemy to have authority where we were supposed to have the authority. Does that make sense? The third place that the enemy has authority as the God of this earth, the God of this age, is wherever we leave an open door to the enemy. You know, John shared the testimony of the guys at his work that were smuggling in dirty porn magazines to work. And if you know, there's a lot of young guys that struggle with porn nowadays. You don't even need a magazine. It's just on your phone. Christian guys that'll struggle with this, and the statistics of guys dealing with pornography addiction are pretty much the same in the church and outside the church. So this is a huge thing, and the church needs to rise up and stop playing games with this. Because what happens then, let's say a guy is dealing with this, and then he decides, oh, I'm going to look at pornography. And then he looks at it again, and then he looks at it again. Well, what he's doing then is he's giving his authority over to the enemy, the God of this age. God has rescued us from sin. He set us free from sin. But now if you give in to that sin again and again and again, it's like you're opening the door up and walking away from God's authority and allowing the enemy to come into your life. And now he has authority until you recognize it, close that door, kick him out, close the door, and walk in freedom again. Fear. We can do this all the time with fear. You know, you turn on the news and you see all this crazy news about the pandemic, about COVID-19, and you hear a thought of fear, like, oh man, this is crazy. Well, look at New York and look at this and that. And you give in to this thought of fear. And so then every time you hear something about it, again, you start sweating, you start shaking, you get nervous, you get worried, or you feel this pressure, this anxiety, because you allowed the enemy authority in your life in that area rather than walking in faith and keeping your heart guarded before God. You've opened a door for the enemy to come in and to bring his authority in your life. Bitterness, another one. I've talked with so many people that, you know, as an example, that have been through painful divorces. And like a woman I talked with that said, I will never be able to forgive my husband, my ex-husband, for how he treated me. It's like, okay, so something bad happened in her life. She's got to forgive. The Bible teaches you have to forgive and you have to love even your enemies. You can't allow unforgiveness and bitterness to come in there, because then you leave an open door for the enemy to come in and torment you. But she went through a painful divorce. She couldn't forgive her ex-husband. And as a result, for many years, that really dominated her life. She couldn't get free from that. The enemy had a right to come in and torment her. God gave her authority to walk in freedom, to walk in love, to walk in hope. But she opened the door to the enemy through bitterness. So then he comes in with his authority and brings slavery, brings bondage to her life as a result. And so those are the three areas that I see where the enemy has authority to operate as the God of this age. He has authority in individual lives. If you're not serving God, you're serving him. So he has authority over your life then as the God of this age to come and manipulate you and to hurt you and destroy your life. He has authority over you if you are walking with God, but you just don't walk in that authority and you give in to his lies and give in to his manipulation. And he has authority if we open the door through sin or through occult activities or through bitterness or anything like that, that we open the door for him to come in and demonstrate, use his authority in our lives to hurt us. So his authority, you know, it's limited in duration. One day Jesus is going to come back and completely wipe him out. It's limited in the level of power that he has as the God of this age. However, we need to be very aware of it, because he's constantly trying to get more and more influence in our lives, and he's trying to get more authority over us to do what he wants to do. And too many Christians give him way too much authority. They open their lives up. They allow bitterness in, or they allow sin in, or they allow fear in. They allow the enemy's lies in, and so then he ends up having way more authority in our lives than he should have. So we need to be on our guard to not allow him in that way. So another question that this kind of brings up in my head is, when will Satan's authority as the God of this age completely end? Well, Matthew 13 talks about the harvest at the end of the age. I'm not going to go there and read it. But it talks about that at the end of the age will come the harvest. Well, if Satan is the God of this age, we know that there's an end of this age. When the harvest comes, when Jesus returns, that's the end of this age. Satan's authority, it's not going to last forever. Ultimately, it will end when Jesus returns and throws him and everything that he's touched into the lake of fire. But the cool thing is, each one of us right now, we could get to enter into that today. That, yeah, one day, whether it's tonight or a month from now, years from now, decades from now, centuries, we don't know. But one day Jesus is going to return, and we're going to leave this age. We're going to be in a new age. We're going to be in a new age, not the new age. But we're going to be in a new age where Satan has no more power. He has no more authority. He won't rule at all. But the cool thing is, we can enter into that now as individuals. When we make a covenant with Jesus, when we come into relationship with him, Hebrews, I think it's chapter 6, talks about that through the Holy Spirit, we taste of the ages to come, or taste of the age to come. So when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we become renewed in him, we're born again. Now we make a covenant with God, and so we get to taste the age to come. The enemy's authority over this age doesn't apply to us anymore, because we're in relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in us. It's like we're in an individual, different age, where the authority of the enemy doesn't function anymore. So that's the cool thing. Yeah, one day Jesus will come and destroy the enemy completely. But right now we get to taste that. We get to enter into that. The enemy doesn't have authority in our lives anymore. So how do we resist Satan as the God of this world? First, I think it's five different things here that we can do. And the first one is, we don't open a door to the enemy and give him a right to have authority in our lives. We repent of sin. If there's sin in our lives, just repent. Be done with it. Don't hold on to it. Let it go. Because if you hold on to that sin, you're allowing the enemy to have authority in your life as the God of this age. Because it's an open door to him. Don't do it. Renounce occult activity. If you've done occult things, if you've been into horoscopes or horror movies or just demonic kind of satanic music or whatever it is, that has an occult relationship, has an occult connection, just renounce it. Be done with it. Repent of it. Walk away. Renounce its power over your life, because that is like, it's like a magnet that attracts the authority of Satan as a god of this age. Just be done with it. Forgive those who you're angry with. Forgive those who hurt you, because that bitterness gives the enemy a right in your life. Get demons cast out if it's needed. The early church, they had a, basically it was like a church membership manual called, what was it called? What is the name of this? It almost made it into the Bible. I cannot remember the name of this document. It's an ancient church document that almost made it into the Bible. It's almost like a membership manual where they talk about these are good things that you should have as a new Christian. And in there they recommend, well, they state that they required that new members go through deliverance, that they break ties of the enemy, they cast demons out, and they that you go through this cleansing to make sure that the enemy doesn't have any attachment to you and you're just free. So if there's demons in your life, just get them cast out. Talk to somebody in the church. We'll cast them out of you. Don't worry about it. That's what Jesus did anytime somebody had a demon. So you don't want any connection to the enemy. You don't want to give him any authority over your life, whether it's through sin, through bitterness, through a demon that's in your life. You want to get rid of that. And be careful what you look at, what you listen to. Be careful what you give your attention to, your time to, because you don't want to become, just give yourself to something that would attract demonic influence in your life. Second thing we got to do, we don't let the cares of this world come in to make us ineffective. Matthew 13:22, Jesus gives the, it's in the parable of the four soils. In verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, literally, it's the same word used for the god of this world. So literally, the cares of this age, this eon. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This is a scheme of the enemy to get into your life, to have authority over your life. Let's say you're loving God, you're serving God, and you're keeping the door closed to his manipulations and his lies. But if he can distract you, get you focused on the things of this age, where he's the god of those things, if he can get you focused more on those things than on the kingdom of God, you're still saved, you're still loving God, you're okay, you're going to go to heaven when you die, but you become unfruitful, ineffective, because you're distracted. So what would be the cares of this world? Well, things, you know, a lot of times it's good things, things like your house, your job, your family, friends, your education, school, what you're making for meals tonight, grocery shopping, these, all the things that you need to survive during this life. It's all good stuff, but if that's your focus, if that's your heart, if that's all that you really kind of, if that's the main thing that you're driving toward, the main thing that takes your time and attention, you've got to reorient yourself toward God. God has given us an amazing opportunity in the world to make an impact for him in eternity. That we don't have, we can either live for this world, and we've got whatever, 70, 80, 90 years, maybe more than that, maybe less than that. We don't know how many years we have, but God has given us an opportunity to use that time for his glory. And we can either take care of the things of this age, take care of our houses, take care of our job, take care of our family, our stuff. We can focus on that. Or we could say, okay, that stuff's, I'll do what I got to do there, but I really want to focus on the age to come. I want to spend time in prayer. I want to spend time ministering to my neighbors. I want to be a light for the kingdom of God, so that we could use our lives not just for this age, but for the age to come, that we make an impact in eternity. And so this is something that we got to be very careful of as Christians, that we don't just focus on this age. We don't allow those cares to get in and rob us on the fruit from the fruit that God wants us to have. Amen? Amen. Paul shares in 2 Timothy about a man named Demas that didn't guard his heart, and he gave away to the cares of the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul warns, he says, "For Demas, in love with this present world," literally again, age, "in love with this present age, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." So we don't know the whole story there, but it sounds like he gave in to the cares of this age. That whatever it was, he was serving God, He was with Paul. They're making an impact for the kingdom of God. They're doing things that are mattering for eternity. But something seduced him. Something got him distracted. And maybe he realized, you know, this is hard. I'd like a house. Or I'd like a decent job. I'm tired of having to travel around all the time. I'm tired of being poor. I'm tired of getting beat up and criticized. I'm just going to get a nice job. I'm going to get a nice house. I'm going to have a nice family and settle down and I'll be a good person. But I'm not going to travel around and do this ministry anymore. He was seduced. He was distracted by the cares of this age, I think. But we don't know the whole story of what happened. But if it happened for him, it can happen for us. And he's walking with Paul. He's ministering with Paul. He's seeing blind eyes open. He's seeing lame people walk. He's seeing the hand of God. He's in the midst of revival with the apostle Paul himself teaching him the truths of the gospel. And yet Demas was distracted by the cares of this age. So if the enemy could get in his life, he can get into our lives. So we need to be very careful that we don't get distracted. And I know, especially in America, where life is pretty easy right now, you know, we've got this crisis, the pandemic, but we're not suffering like people have suffered throughout history. This is nothing. I got to stay home. This is really hard. I got to wash my hands more, and I can't get as much toilet paper as I want to get, and I have to wait till the next day to get all the toilet paper. Yeah, whatever. Okay. We're a bunch of whiners. But where was I going with that? I don't know. We're whiners. Yeah. All right. It becomes very easy in America to focus on the cares of this age, the cares of this world, and think that that's all that life is. When I was in Ukraine, and you might die that day because there's a war going on, people don't worry about how much toilet paper they're getting, or they don't worry about trying to, you know, save up enough groceries and for the last couple of weeks. They're just worried about, I got to survive today, and if not, I got to make if I get killed today, I got to make sure I'm going to be okay in eternity. And that's their focus, not this age, not this world, but their focus is eternity. It's very easy for us to become distracted and to think about just this age, to worry just about what's going on now in our lives. Take care of us so we're okay now. Take care of our friends now, our families now. But we have to be very careful to put our eyes on the age to come, so that we can enter heaven with fruit to show Jesus, not just where he says, well, you made it. I'm happy you're here, but I really hoped that you were going to do a boom, 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 but you know, you got here, way to go. I'm happy you're here, but I don't, you know, man, I had all this other stuff planned for you. We can't allow the cares of the world to come in and rob the fruit that God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, third thing we got to do, we recognize that Satan has no right to rule us because we're in Jesus. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Jesus gave his life to deliver us from the present evil age, to set us free from the authority of the God of this age, the God of this world. That's what Jesus gave his life for. Not just so we could go to heaven one day and so we could be forgiven of our sins. Yes, that's part of it. That's a huge part of it. That's a central part of it. But he also gave his life to deliver us from the power of the enemy in this age so that we don't have to be under his authority. So we need to recognize that. We need to walk in that We need to set our mind there, that we are delivered from the powers of the enemy. We're delivered from the God of this age, that he doesn't have authority over us. We set our heart there, set our mind there, and we go from there. Then we don't. That kind of guards our heart and guards our mind so that the enemy can't come in with his lies to try to convince us that he has authority. Because his authority is an illegitimate authority. So Jesus came to deliver us from his power. Four. I guess I just have four things here. So this is the last one. We stand in the truth that Jesus is the true and ultimate God of this world. The Bible uses the title God of this world or God of this age about Satan. But who's the real God of this world? Who's the real God of this age? It's Jesus. He's the only one. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, says, therefore God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Any authority that Satan has as the God of this age, it's an illegitimate authority. You know, it's like, I have a young daughter who likes to be a little bossy, Cosette. Sometimes it's cute and funny. Sometimes it's a little annoying. But sometimes she likes to be in control. And so once in a while, you know, when Jesse and I are busy with other things, we'll hear her bossing her siblings around. And she'll tell them, you need to go there. You need to give me this. And I'm like, wow, she's a little bossy little girl. But sometimes her siblings listen and they're like, okay, whatever, you know, it's not worth fighting about. And so they're like, okay, fine, I'll go sit there. It's not a big deal. Or fine, I'll give you your water bottle. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to fight about it. But then other times her older siblings get upset about it. And they're like, no, who are you? You have no right to tell me to do anything. You're three. You're tiny. I'm not going to do what you say. You have no power. You have no authority. That's the enemy. He's the God of this age, but it's an illegitimate power that he has. He has no real authority. He's like a little toddler trying to tell all his older siblings what to do. And as long as the older siblings just go along with it, then the little toddler gets his way. But as soon as the siblings go, no, this is dumb, then the toddler's not going to get their way anymore. Satan's the same. He tries to act all tough. He tries to act like he has all his power and all his authority. And as long as we, as believers, as long as we go, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, yeah, you have, right, you got to this age. I get it. Yeah, yeah, cool. You do what you want then, fine. As long as when we allow him that power and authority, then he'll come and do it. But as soon as we wake up and go, no, Jesus was lifted high and above every power and authority. Jesus is the one and only God in heaven and on earth. He has all power. He has all authority. As soon as we turn on the enemy and unmask him, he's like that little toddler that goes, oh yeah, you're right. Okay, fine. I'll go in my room and I'll be quiet now. So we gotta as the people of God, we can't allow the enemy to have this illegitimate authority in our lives, in our church, in our nation, our communities. So, you know, right now, we're in the middle of this crisis, coronavirus panic, and we're standing on the authority that we have in Jesus, and we're declaring that no, nobody in our church is getting sick, nobody in our family's getting sick, nobody in our community is gonna, well, no, that's too, they're already given to the panic, but we're not gonna let it overtake our community more than it has already. We're just declaring, God of this age, you have no power. Jesus has power. Jesus has authority. So anywhere where the enemy, you like see in your life, okay, the enemy's doing this or that, don't give in to the lie that he has legitimate authority there. It's all illegitimate authority, like a little toddler trying to tell his older siblings what to do. Just unmask him and send him packing. Amen? Amen. Let me close with this last verse, 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, the Greek word there for world is different than the Greek word used for the God of this world, but the idea is the same. The one in us is greater than the God of this age. The one who is in us, Jesus, is greater than anything that the enemy would want to do against us. So we can overcome any area where the enemy seems to be strong, where he seems to be attacking, where he seems to be moving. We are victorious over that because the one who is in us is greater than that. Amen? Amen. All right, let me pray. Jesus, thank you that you have overcome the enemy. Thank you that the God of this age, he might act tough and he might try to boss us around and he might act like he's got all this power and all this authority and through his lies and manipulations, yeah, he can have that. But Jesus, thank you that you are above his authority, that your power is light years beyond his power, and that because you are in us and we are in you, that we have authority over the enemy, and that his authority is just illegitimate. And it doesn't, the things that he does, the intimidation that he does, and the lies that he brings in, the fear, the death, the destruction that he wants to reap in our lives and wants to bring to our lives, that none of that is valid. And so, Jesus, I pray for us as a church that we would continue to walk in the authority that we have in you, and that we would continue to walk knowing that you are our God, and the God of this age has been dethroned, and that we would not allow him to come in any area, that we would close every door, that if there's sin, we would repent of it. If there's occult things that we are doing or have done, that we would repent and just renounce that and break that power. If there's unforgiveness, Lord, that we would walk in freedom from that, that we would forgive those who have hurt us, Jesus, not allow the enemy to have any authority, any open door in our lives whatsoever, and that we would just continue to walk in faith and walk in victory, especially right now, Jesus, while the world is going crazy. God, that we would be a sign and a wonder to the world around us, the faith that we have and the freedom that we have from the panic around us. And Lord, continue to bless us with health. Thank you, God, that nobody in our church has gotten sick. And I pray that you would just continue to shine your blessing upon us so that we would continue to walk in your favor and victory. In Jesus' name, amen.